Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank God for the Blackman family. They were with us last week, so if you missed that, perhaps you can go online, maybe check our podcasts, and you will be able to listen to a very encouraging sermon by John, who is going to be a missionary to Thailand. One of the things we mentioned here at First Baptist Church of Thibodaux in our core values is that we want to be missional-minded. So we want to be able to partner with John and his family. John taught us about prayer. And one of the things that he mentioned to several of the leaders were to pray for him. He asked us to pray for him because of his visa. And his visa was approved. Sunday after service, he got a message which was an email saying that his visa was approved. So praise God for that. For those of you who prayed for him, thank God for you. So with that said, we are systematically walking through the book of Hebrews, and we are in a very familiar passage of Scripture, which is Hebrews chapter 11. So let's observe verses 1 through 3. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. Can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received the commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful again for your word, and we are thankful for the passage of Scripture this morning as we will learn more about faith. So God, teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people says, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is, What is Faith? What is faith? When I lift my baby girl, Gabby, up about 6 feet from the floor, 6 feet up, and I look at her and I turn her around, there is nothing but delight and laughter on my baby girl's face. She is absolutely happy when I do that. But she also trusts her daddy. She trusts, for some weird reason, she trusts that I would not drop her. Even when the situation seemed to be a little hard, because I lift her up and drool is dropping from her mouth into my eyes and my mouth, and she looks down and she sees the disgust on my face, there's still a smile upon Gabby's face. Daddy, I know you will not drop me. There's great faith that she trusts in her daddy. She trusts that her daddy will protect her. And friends, in the same way, we need to have that faith in our Heavenly Father, knowing that he will protect us, knowing that he will guide us, knowing that he will never drop us, knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us. This is what Scripture says about our great Father. Now, as we observe this passage of Scripture this morning, we see Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. It is. It is so called a hall of faith because of the brothers and sisters, the men and women mentioned in that chapter, men and women of faith. But like we do with everything that is very familiar with us, to us, We tend to neglect, we tend to forget, we tend to observe things that are very familiar to us. For example, the bayou, right? How many of you on an everyday basis drive past the bayou and say, wow, I am so glad I live next to the bayou? I would venture to say maybe none of you do that. But if we get some foreigners, people from up north who come down here, they're like, wow, the bayou is beautiful. The bayou is awesome. Why is it that we who are down here close to the bayou would say on a consistent basis, well, I really don't care. I don't really don't think about the bayou as much because it's very familiar. And we do the same thing with Scripture that is familiar to us. And we tend not to observe the entire context of the book of Hebrews or passages of Scripture. So this morning, I know this scripture is very familiar, but I want you to put on your thinking caps. I want you to observe the context of Hebrews chapter 11 and the entire context of the book of Hebrews. Why is Hebrews chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews? And this is exactly what we will understand. The meaning here is for us to see what faith is, that God has granted us faith. Hebrews chapter 11 comes after a repeated series of warning in Hebrews chapter 10. For example, we notice this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. The author says, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured the hard struggle with sufferings." So he's commanding them here, he's calling them to see how they suffered tremendously. And then he connects chapter 10 to chapter 11, and he says, look at the hall of faith, how they struggled tremendously, but we can see faith in them. So friends, when we are struggling as Christians, notice this, that God will use the tool of trials, tribulations, persecution to mold us and to shape us to look more and more like Jesus. And as we observe the life of those, the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, every single one of them suffered greatly. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, he says, But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So in chapter 10, he even talks about faith. And he says, we don't shrink back, but we persevere. What is the point here? Come in closer and get this. Perseverance is the demonstration of faith. Perseverance is the demonstration of faith. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews wants his audience to understand, and he wants you to get this. As a Christian, persevere. Through persecution, persevere. Through trials, persevere. Why? Because it's the demonstration of faith. Faith is the ground on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And what I love about the book of Hebrews here is that the author here wants you to understand faith. And he goes back into the Old Testament and he teaches us how to interpret the Old Testament. Come in closer. Don't miss this. He's teaching us in the book of Hebrews how to interpret or understand the Old Testament. And we should understand the Old Testament with Christ in view. In other words, he says to us and he says to them throughout the book of Hebrews, look at Christ in the Old Testament. Look at the temple. Look at the objects in the temple and see how Christ is the reality of all of these shadows. And this is exactly what he's doing here. He helps us see that Christ is superior. Christ is great, and the only way that we can come to know Jesus or come to know God is through Jesus Christ. Do you get this? Coming closer. The way that they got saved in the Old Testament is the same way that we're getting saved today. That is faith in God. You don't believe me? Notice what the author of Hebrews mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. He says, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. But did Moses understand all the intricacies of Jesus and the work of Jesus and the atonement of Jesus? No, he didn't fully understand, but he trusted in the promise of God. And what are the promises of God? Every single promise in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Do you get this? How did he get saved in the Old Testament? It wasn't through works. It was grace of God through faith. This is exactly what he mentions in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. And I need you to get this. Because there's some of you and there's some Christians who say we don't need to read the Old Testament because the way they got saved in the Old Testament was through works and by works. No, friends. The true saved ones in the Old Testament believed through faith. And this is what we must understand here. So, get this. This morning, I want us to take a look at three essentials of faith. What are they? The character of faith. We see this in verse 1, 2, the testimony of faith. We see this in verse 2 and 3, the illustration of faith. We see this in verse 3. Again, friends, please. Grab hold of your Bibles, because you will need it. Grab hold of the Spirit of God, because I promise you, you will need Him. Please pay attention to the words of Christ and allow God to transform your hearts. We're not looking for information, but rather transformation. This is what you should be crying out for. God, transform me today. I don't want to have a lofty view of who Christ is, but yet I'm not transformed by the words of Jesus. This is what we find often in Christian churches, right? We love to learn about doctrines, which doctrines are good. We love expositional preaching because expositional preaching is good. But then we leave and we're not transformed. So please, allow the Word of God to transform your hearts as you are listening to His Word. With that said, let's observe point number one, the character of faith, the character of faith. See for yourself in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now here, He's not given us an exhaustive definition of faith, but rather the description of faith that perseveres. And specifically, He gives us two characteristics here. What are they? One, assurance of things hoped for, and two, the conviction of things not seen. Let's focus on characteristic number one, assurance of things hoped for. In Old Testament times, men and women who believed upon God, trust in Jesus or trust in Yahweh, based on His promises. So we have an example of this. God called Abraham out. And God says to Abraham, go into the wilderness. Abraham had faith. In Genesis chapter 2, God says to Abraham, sacrifice your son. And Abraham believed God. As He is taking Isaac up to be sacrificed, Abraham's servant said to him, where is the lamb? And Abraham responded, in faith, through faith, God will provide a lamb. Which he knew, that God will provide. So we have examples of this all throughout the Old Testament, of men and women who trusted in God, trusted in His promises. It wasn't through works, it was through faith that showed itself in works, right? It was through faith. Now, all the Old Testament promises related to the future. And for many believers, it was far into the future. Do you get this? Far into the future. When God says to Abraham, I will multiply your descendants. This is far into the future. There are some promises that God gave that was present, but most of them far into the future. Why? Because every single one of them was based upon the coming of the Messiah. This is what God was doing, constantly pointing His people in the Old Testament to the coming Messiah. As you read through the Old Testament, this is exactly what we see. We see the scarlet thread of Jesus, the seed throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis through Malachi. And then we get to the book of Matthew, and here is the seed. He is born, and it's Jesus. So friends, they were people of faith. They were people of faith in the Old Testament. They trusted in Yahweh's promise. What faith is not is this. Faith is not wistful longing that something may come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. That is not faith. But what is faith, Kevin? Are you ready for this definition? Come in closer and write this down. True faith is an absolute certainty, often of things that the world considers unreal and impossible. True faith has its object, and it's God. True faith believes in God, that God will see it through. So Christian hope is belief in God against the world, right? Not belief in the improbable against chance. It's belief in God against the world. So the world tells us all kinds of stuff which contradicts Scripture, but Christian hope and faith is in God. We believe what God has said to us. Now, coming closer, and don't miss this, assurance of things hoped for. Coming closer. Notice this, that the word assurance here basically means essence or reality, as opposed to mere appearance. Another word used to describe this word assurance is foundation. In other words, faith here provides the firm foundation upon which we can stand. Do you get this? As believers, our faith is the solid foundation that we can stand. As we notice that the world is constantly moving and shifting, it is a Christian faith that keeps us solid and firm. This is why when you find people who grew up in church and all of a sudden they go to college and they start learning all kinds of philosophy and different things, and all of a sudden you see that they shift and everything about them changes. Why? Because that foundation wasn't truly, genuinely faith. When we have a true, genuine faith, we will stand upon it no matter what the world does. No matter what, if the world is okay with homosexuality, or if the world is okay with murder, or if the world is okay with abortion, we stand on our faith, even if the world makes fun of us. Why is that? Because that foundation will never move. The world's foundation is always moving. It's always sinking. But Christian faith is solid and firm. You know what I absolutely love about this assurance of things hoped for is I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you read in Daniel and you see the story about these men, they were confronted by Nebuchadnezzar, a man that they can see. They turned against him to trust in a God who they cannot see physically with their eyes. It took faith for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to tell Nebuchadnezzar that I will not follow you, but I will follow God. And as a matter of fact, as they put them in the furnace to be burned, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, you can do whatever you want to do with us, but our God will save us. And even if he does not, we will not serve other gods, but God alone. That's true faith. Do you get this? That's true faith. And what I love about this is this. The assurance of things hoped for means the person has complete confidence that God will fulfill his promises. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego firmly believe that God will fulfill his promises. Friends, coming closer. Do you believe that God will fulfill his promises? The world is constantly coming against you to remove that solid foundation, to tell you that you don't need to believe the Bible is real, that you don't need to believe that God is real, that you don't need to believe in the principles of Scripture. Listen to me and listen to me very carefully. We have a solid foundation, and it's our faith that's been granted to us to trust in Jesus. The next thing that we must observe here is this. Second characteristic, the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. You know, what I love about this here is that the King James translates the word conviction as evidence. If you have a King James Bible, it says evidence. The ESV and some of the modern translation translate this word as conviction. But they work together. Evidence and conviction strengthen basically what the author wants you to observe. Because evidence by which a thing is proved brings conviction and certainty to the mind. This is why we must take both of these words and put them together to give us a good meaning of what the author is saying here. But friends, can I ask you this question? How is your faith in an economy that is collapsing, inflation, and some of us are even thinking we will be in a recession? How is your faith? More now than ever, your lost family members, lost neighbors, lost co-workers need you to stand for the truth. So when they have anxiety and depression about what's happening, you can say to them, my faith is in Jesus. Although I lose everything, I will continue to stand on Jesus. How is your faith? Come in closer and write this down. Our faith is the organ by which we are enabled to see the invisible order. Do you get this? I was reminded of this story in 1 Kings of Elisha and his servant. And here is Elisha, and you have the king who called for Elisha, Ahab, to kill Elisha. And Elisha says, I will not go. And here is the servant who is right next to Elisha, and he's crying and saying, no, they're going to kill us. And Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant. And he prayed, and his eyes were opened, and he looked, and he saw millions and thousands and millions of chariots all over him, all around him. His eyes were open to the invisible. When Jesus himself, when he was being arrested, he told his disciples, listen, I have legions of angels ready to come, but not now. Friends, we need to pray for our eyes to be open to what's around us. This is a spiritual warfare, that we understand that there are angels working around us. This is what Scripture says. This is not me being charismatic. It's good for us to be charismatic sometimes when it's biblical. We need to open our eyes to see what God is doing around us. When we see people go against abortion, right? We as Christians, we go against abortion. Why? Because we understand it's a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. So our faith is the organ by which we are enabled to see the invisible order. We can see. The natural man cannot see it, But for those of us who are saved, we can see we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And when our children come before us and they're being tempted, we as parents can see the spiritual battle. We can see that the world wants them. We can see that Satan wants them. And we pray diligently for our children. A lost person is not able to do that. A lost person is not able to see that. We are able to see because of faith. Come closer and write this down as well. Faith allows Christians to make God-honoring decisions based on unseen realities. I can make God-honoring decisions even if I cannot see everything around me. I know I'm called to be a father. I know I'm called to be a godly man. I know I'm called to be a good citizen. These are God-honoring decisions. Why? Because I know that God will reward. I know that God will see this through fruition. This conviction about God's unseen promises allow Christians to persevere in their faith regardless of persecution, opposition, and temptation. I need you to get this. And coming closer, do not miss this illustration. I need you to get this. When we think about faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, I want you to imagine with me, here is a little child who is in an apartment. He's on the third floor, and there's fire. And everyone's outside and wanting to save this child, but they know the fire department won't be there until 5 minutes, and that will be too late. But they also know that there is a very large man in the community. And he has incredible athletic abilities. He is strong. So he gets there and he looks up and he tells this child to jump. Jump, I will catch you. Jump, trust me. The child must understand two main things. One, that the man is physically there. He has to believe that he is seeing the man at the bottom, the ground level. And secondly, he must believe that the man is strong enough to catch him, to save him. So what he does, by believing those two things, he jumps. He jumps. And this is exactly what faith is. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, but we act upon these things. We jump into the arms of God. We trust God at what He has mentioned in Scripture. Are you just sitting or are you jumping? Are you trusting in what God has commanded in Scripture? This is exactly what He says here, that we must understand that. Now take a look at the second point with me. A testimony of faith. Do you notice in verse 2 what he mentions here? Don't miss this. For by it, the people of old receive their commendation. They receive their commendation. Now, coming closer here, approval does not just refer to temporary material blessings, but rather, this is a final approval. Approval here is a final approval. So the eternal commendation instead of eternal condemnation. Do you see it? This is what we desire as people. If we believe that there is a God, we want to please God. So God, how can I please you? How can I make it into heaven? How can I enjoy you forever? And God answers the question here. For those in the Old Testament and as well as for those in the New Testament, it is only through faith. You get it. How were they approved in the Old Testament? They were approved through faith, through trust in Jesus, through trust in Yahweh's promise. Notice well in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, the Apostle Paul says the same thing about Abraham when he says Abraham was counted righteous before God because of his faith, not because of his works, because of his faith. Their faith, I want you to get this, their faith in the Old Testament was a messianic faith. Do you get this? Their faith in the Old Testament was a messianic faith. They trusted in the Christ to come. They didn't have all the views that we have, all the information that we have, but they had enough to trust in the coming Messiah. Write this down, please. The Old Testament saints hoped in things yet unseen, in a deliverer that has been promised, but had not yet come. Not yet come. So as we observe this text, we see faith. How can you please God? It is through faith. But stop. How are we able to get faith? Is faith another deed, another work? Because sometimes we can look at faith that way. But how can I make it to heaven? I must have faith. So how do I get it? I have to work. When we know that the Bible talks about that the only way that you can be saved is through faith alone, not works. But it seems as if faith is works, but it's not. As a matter of fact, the only way that we can be saved and get saved is through the grace of God. And because of God's grace, he grants us the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. It is not something you work for. It is not something you conjure up. It is the gift of God. So God gives us faith. God activates the faith. And through our faith, we begin to do good deeds. So we don't get saved because of our good deeds. We are saved because of faith that produces good deeds. You get it? And this is exactly what he's doing here. He's helping us understand that faith is a gift. A gift. Faith is a gift just like air is a gift. But we must breathe it. Faith is a gift just like food is a gift. But we must eat it. Faith is a gift just like water is a gift. But we must drink it. The beautiful thing here, friends, is that God gives us the gift. He activates the gift, and we act upon this gift. This is the beautiful thing here about faith. And finally, an illustration of faith. An illustration of faith. Do you see it in your own Bibles? He ends in verse 3 on explaining to us what is faith. And in verse 3, he says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, stop 1 second and let's observe faith altogether before we dive into this passage of scripture. We must understand that faith is central to life. For example, you go to the doctor whose name you do not know, and it's the truth. A lot of my doctors, I have no clue what their names are. You go to a doctor whose name you do not know. They give you a prescription, a name you cannot pronounce. And on that prescription, you still cannot even write the handwriting, even if you want to pronounce it. You go to a pharmacy, perhaps, that you don't even know. You've never been there before. Then you go home, and you take that pill that they give you, and you consume it, not even one time questioning anything, because you believe the medicine that they're giving you is going to help you. It will help you. This is what you believe. So we have faith in simple things like that. But when it comes to spirituality, we must have faith in God. The object of our faith is not the medicine. It is God at this point, that we believed in God. And this is exactly what he's doing here. He brings up creation, when God created the world, that we were not there when God created the world. We didn't see what happened. But today, as Christians, we believe that God created the world. It wasn't an accident. As a matter of fact, we go even further by saying we believe that God created the world out of nothing. Just by his word, he spoke, and the word, the world was created. This is what scripture says. So how do we believe that? How do we have faith in that? It's based on scripture. It's based on the character of God. That's what faith is. Believing even in the unseen. And this is exactly what he mentions here. So friends, as we observe creation, we see the power of God. And as Christians, we are satisfied in Christ that he created the world out of nothing. And he spoke, and it happened. That's great faith. So can I ask you this question? How is your faith this morning? Again, is your faith in Jesus this morning? Is your faith in Jesus and not our government, not money, not your bank account, not even yourself, but rather in Jesus? This is a very good sermon, a good passage of scripture here, as the author of Hebrews is sharing with his audience to encourage their hearts. You are struggling greatly, but have faith in God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence and conviction of things not seen. So let's trust in God. Let's hope in God. Let's have faith in God. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. As we see Scripture and we understand Scripture, we know that you are faithful. Faith is not something we conjure up, but we yield to you, O Lord, and your grace and your mercy that you give us this great gift. When this gift is given to us, it is activated, and we act, we move. So thank you. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you are constantly moving in our hearts and in our minds. So I pray for you people at this moment, Father. If we are struggling in our faith, perhaps there are some that are saying, well, Jesus is not going to return. Perhaps they're saying, Jesus doesn't care. Where is Jesus when my mortgage is going up and I can't pay for it? Where is Jesus when my mother has cancer? Where is Jesus when my teenage daughter is pregnant? Where is Jesus when my teenage son is in trouble? And as human beings, Father, we struggle and struggle and struggle. But I pray, Father, that we will not ask, where is Jesus? But rather, Jesus, you are with me. And we need you to help us. And we would ask, strengthen our faith, Lord. Please. So God, I pray for your people. I pray for myself. That we will move towards you, O Lord. In your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen.